Good evening. This is Till Death Do Us Part with Marilyn and Clarence Miles. And
Amen.
today, Miles, we have some special guests, Pastor Roxanne and Michael Hawkins. This couple we used to invite to our home, and we would have like a couple's night where we dance, we talk, we'd have a room, and they'd take one of our rooms. And honey, they had the candles. Oh, Roxanne knew how to fix that room up. I mean, we would have a, we played pool. We just had a good time. And when we were going through difficult times, Roxanne and Bernadette, who is her sister, Bernadette is her sister whose husband passed away. But I used to watch them. I knew after watching them that we could go through too. They were so encouraging when you and I were going through our personal struggles. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I want to jump right in it. What about you, Miles?
Okay, so.
I'd like to introduce our guests, and I'd like for them to introduce themselves to our audience. And we have audience from all over the world, Roxanne and Mike. Can we call you Roxanne and Mike?
Sure can. Sure
Okay.
can.
Call us Marilyn and Miles.
Yes, you can.
We have people from all over the world on all the continents, and I am not joking, listening to this program. So you are going to be heard all across the world, and we want you guys to be a blessing as we believe we have been a blessing in the lives of people. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So let's start off saying we've been married for 22
22
years.
years.
Yes, 22 years. And we'll start off with how we met. Is that good?
That's
So
good.
20 over, well, 24 years
20,
ago.
24 years.
Yeah, we've been married 22 years ago, but 24 years ago, I had the invitation of doing, it was my mother's best friend homegoing service, but it was also his mother's best friend homegoing service. And I was ministering at that homegoing service. So in the midst of me ministering, he was there. So at the repast, now he knew my sister. But I really didn't know him, but he knew my sister because my sister was married to his cousin. So during the repast, when we're sitting down eating, he came over to the table and he introduced himself. And I asked the question, you know, how you doing? And he said he lived in Virginia, where my sister lived in Virginia at the time. So I said, what have you been doing? And he said, oh, I just, you know, been working. But you know, I'm believing God for a wife.
Oh my.
Okay, so you know, okay, you believe in God for a wife. And I, at the time, I was still working. So after the funeral, I sat at the repast for a little while and then I went back to work. But what I didn't know is that he told me later on that he watched me get in the car.
Wow.
So he connected somehow with my sister. And he asked my sister for my phone number. And my
Okay.
sister called me and said, can I give him your phone number? And I was like, no, don't give him my phone number. No.
Right.
And she gave it to him anyway.
Go ahead, girl.
And so he called me, and his first, very first conversation was that I was going to be his wife. He said, God told him I was going to be his wife. And I was kind of a little upset behind that first conversation because I was like, I'm not getting married. Like
Right.
I was okay with my single life at the time. And
Sure.
so I was like, I'm not getting married. And I called my sister. I said, why did you even give him my phone number? I said, this man don't even know me talking about I'm going to be his wife. And
Right.
the thing about it was, I told him, I said, first of all, I didn't like light-skinned men. That's what that was just my preference,
Sure,
you
you
know,
have a
right? I like them. I wanted the dark and chocolate, and I was like, and I like them tall, and he wanted this tall. I had all these little things that
Sure.
I ruled him out,
I get it.
but he started calling me, And when I say this man pursued me and just start, he got my job, start sending me gifts to the job and everything. So I was like, and at the time I had a roommate, and she said, you should at least just talk to him. So we start talking on the phone. And at the time, it wasn't like unlimited. And he said, when he proposed to me, like, I'm jumping ahead. He had a stack, and I'm not exaggerating, right? This much of calling cards, because he lived in Virginia. I lived in New Jersey, where he was getting these calling cards to call me. Wow. And that's how he pursued me. But then when I went to God, I just knew, I mean, it was so much about him. And I said, God, had I looked at my list,
right,
and not what you had for me, I would have missed out on the blessing and the man of God that I eventually was praying for and wanted God, but had all these things in front of what sure. God was trying to do in both our lives.
Sure. How about you, Mike?
Dr. Miles, the way this happened, it was God. God used me. I prayed to him for a virtual woman. And he took time to give me a virtual woman. I didn't know the virtual woman was going to be back where I used to live at. Okay. I'm from Jersey. So when I went to the funeral and I seen her sister and everything, she was up there preaching. I told her sister, I said that I'm looking for a virtual woman to be my wife. I said, your sister is going to be my wife.
Wow.
I told her sister that.
You hear that?
And when I asked her for the telephone number, I already had my cards already ready with my name and everything on it. And I gave her sister my card. I said, I would like you to give this to your sister, and I would like to have her number. But your sister is going to be my wife. So as it went on at different times, I would call her job or whatever. Sometimes that she wouldn't answer whatever. I said, I got something. So I bought a shoe, a little glass shoe, and had it painted on there, baby girl. Not her name or anything. I had baby girl with silver chocolate dollars in there, chocolate. Didn't cost me expensive little things. I didn't buy any expensive gifts or anything like that. I bought small things, little stuff. And would send it there and would have it sent to her. And I would keep doing that. Guess what?
What?
She start calling me.
Okay, now that's what this
and
is.
And leaving me messages. I would be at work and I would come from work. I had one of them old fashioned answer machines, whatever, and it would leave a little nice little message for me and everything. I said, oh, she's calling me now.
Wow.
Well, I will wait for a day or two to call her back.
Smart man.
I wouldn't call her right away like I was rushing. So I'll call her. So I would call her back. She said, you sent me a gift to say baby girl. I said, you are my baby girl.
Wow.
You are my baby girl.
Wow. Listen, Mike, you touched something when you did that. And I remember when you and Rox first started, Rox would tell me, girl, this man is sending me flowers every day. He send me this, he do that, he do the other. When you all were courting, it seemed like to me,
yes,
that you focused squarely on Roxanne.
Yes.
It was not about Mike. It was all about Roxanne. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. I focused on her. And then when she came down for Thanksgiving, a sister had a Thanksgiving and some of the meal wasn't done. So Muffin asked me, by me being a chef, she asked me, would you finish the rest of the meal? I invited her in the kitchen with me. She was a little nervous in the kitchen with me. I told her to relax. Wow. me and you going to do this together. So me and her was in there, and how we can get to know one another and talk to one. I was telling her different things that we're going to do with this and do with that. First time cooking with each other, don't know each other that well, but it went well. You know why? When you have God in your life, everything always go well because he's in charge.
Amen. That's the truth.
And that's why it went well.
Wow. Now, Miles, you have any questions right now?
You know, one thing I notice about you too is you all seem to still be excited about one another.
That's the truth.
In a lot of cases where two people don't excite each other.
Right.
A lot of cases, we take single habits into marriages. A couple of examples, it's like church all the time.
Right.
I mean, church.
Yes.
Church so much, Jesus get tired of it.
Right.
Just in church all the time. That's a single woman. If a woman did that while she was single, she can mistakenly take that into her marriage and not even know it.
Sure.
And yes.
You'll have issues and you don't even know where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of cases, it comes from not spending enough quality time with each other. A woman or a man finds all these things to do that he used to do when he was single.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you carry them right into the marriage and without even knowing that you need to change your agenda.
Yeah.
But you just keep on doing this single stuff.
Right.
And you wonder where the friction's coming from.
But they do seem to know it. And go, but your point is well taken, Miles. You said they still seem to enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
What do you think that is, Miles? Why do you think, I know Roxanne and Mike is going to tell us, but why do you think they enjoy each other's company?
Well, if I had to take a shot at it, I think they enjoy doing the same things.
Did you hear that? Is that true, Roxanne and Mike?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
We both have our separate friends, and right. we try to balance out everything, but we really do enjoy being with each other.
You do.
I mean, we're cruisers.
We're cruisers. and another thing, we do mostly everything together.
Wow. Wow.
And so we really do. I mean, we had people tell us when we first got married, oh, you know, that's going to wear off. You know, that's because y'all are in the honeymoon stage.
Right.
You know, but when it gets down to the nitty gritty, you're going to see that, you know, all that him bringing you flowers, you know, every time and bringing you all this gift, that's going to stop. We've been married 22 years and he still brings flowers. Wow. He still brings candy. He still do all those things. Yeah. And then I still know, like, I know the things that he likes. Okay. So I don't, it's not like one-sided. Like I know that he enjoys spending time. He enjoys, believe it or not, you know how some men don't like to go to the mall?
Right.
Oh, he likes to go to the mall.
Moms do too.
And
moms
so,
do too. You know, moms like, be in Macy's more than me.
So we don't, sometimes we don't even have to buy nothing but some French fries or, right. You know, just sitting down eating and right. talking to each other. But just taking that walk together in the mall, he'll say, let's get up and go to the mall. Okay, let's go to the mall. It's not like we going to the mall to spend a whole bunch. No, we're just going there to enjoy each other's company. And just sit and just talk.
Wow.
And so, you know, with me actually just starting back again, pastor, you know, one of the things that I talk about a lot is balance. Because there's a lot of times that there's no balance with marriage and church. Like right. there is so much time spent in church till you forget about one another.
That's and right.
Or, you know, or even if there's a saved husband or a saved wife and the other one is not saved,
right.
you know, you're spending so much time in church
right.
that what you have at home is not enjoyed because all your time is consumed yeah. in church. And in doing that, you actually feel like I'm doing the will of God.
Right, right, right. I get
because
it.
I'm in church, but you have neglected the most important thing.
That's right. And that's family. That's
family.
That's marriage.
That's marriage.
Because God literally created marriage after whatever goes on in heaven,
mm-hmm.
created it because he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so whatever is going on in heaven, that's the way marriage should be. We
yes.
should pay attention to marriage. What do you say, Miles?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. Time spent together is so important. And what's so beautiful about this couple here, some people don't enjoy each other.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can be married to somebody and love the person, but not enjoying spending a lot of time with
that's them. Right. That's
you know,
right.
I'll see you later. I'll be back. Or a guy that, you know, you take a guy, I'm not a sports guy, but I see guys just that are married that have watched the football for hours. I mean, how do you sit there and watch football for hours and your wife is sitting there idle, you know? I mean, is
the wife supposed to get in that football game? I get it. I get it. I do understand. But I think that couples should share, like you and I, every morning, Miles and I are up 4 o'clock in the morning. And if that makes sense. And you know what we're doing? Talking. 4 o'clock in the morning. He'll turn over and say, you up? Yeah, I'm up. Well, what do you think about such and such and such? So we'll get coffee and we sit down and we talk. You have to share each other's passions. Whatever each other enjoy, you share. Miles loves talking business. He loves business. So I share that part with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we both love news and politics. So we share mm-hmm. that together.
Yes.
So if a man enjoys football and he spends 5 hours, wouldn't it make sense, Miles, for that woman to learn?
No.
I don't
like sports. Now you want to talk about listen to some jazz for 5 hours, fine.
See, now Miles, I have a jazz session in the basement with some friends.
And he'll have Smokey Robinson on.
Now you're talking.
He loves the oldies.
Yeah, Miles too.
But I like oldies too.
Right.
So you know, we'll get old now. He'll hear rap music and he like, oh, I ain't into the rap. But if you put oldies on.
Yeah. That's Miles will put on the oldies and start playing his instruments. Or he'll call people over whether it's our organist or Renee, and they'll go in the basement and they'll have a little jazz session. That's his life. That's what he loves. I love writing. And so at those times, each of us do our own thing, but then at other times we come together. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's where I think it should be. Let me ask you a question. We know that God has ordained your marriage, sealed your marriage, but what in marriage do you feel would be a deal breaker?
Now, let me answer that question first, because then I'll let him answer. So for me, I always, and I think that I even said this to him before we got engaged. I said, I can work through, I feel like I can work through anything but adultery. I felt like adultery was a deal breaker for me. And I said, and it was, when I think of adultery, I think of just, now I can't trust you. I'm not even just looking at you were with another woman. I'm just like, I can't trust you. And then I began thinking in my mind, like, would all the things he did or said, did he really mean it? You know, like just the mind just, so I was like, that was a deal breaker for me. 22 years now down the road, I can't actually say what is a deal breaker.
Right. Wow.
I really can't say what is a deal breaker. When I went into the marriage, I said to him, what was a deal breaker? But 22 years into the marriage, I really cannot say what is a deal breaker.
Wow.
Okay, Pastor Miles, first of all, I want to get this out. We were both celibate for 2 years. I was living in Virginia and she was living here. I knew that this was God. I knew it was him because I love ladies. But I knew that this was him that pointed me for this woman here. I want you to have this woman. I want you to do what I told you to do. I heard from him. I heard from him. And I was so many thousands of miles away from her. So many thousands of miles away from her. I used to catch the bus to come here. I didn't have a vehicle at first. I used to catch the bus to come here. I had ladies that sat with me and would say things to me and everything. I told her, I said, I'm going to my baby girl.
Wow.
I would tell the lady. She said, who's baby girl? I said, my wife to be. That's what I used to do. I knew. I even gave her a key to my apartment. When she comes down here, she didn't have to look for me or nothing. She could open the door and come into the home.
Wow. Wow.
And that's the way it was. And we'll get back to the question that you asked me. At the same as my wife, I can't answer that question because I don't even know nothing about it. I don't know it.
Scenario's not even in a
I scene. Can't answer it.
Well,
I just can't answer.
I understand that the scenario doesn't exist in your soul or your thinking or your being. It just doesn't exist. And that's not, that's, I wouldn't call that not facing reality. That's just something that is,
right,
that you see, that does exist. A woman mm-hmm. that would never enter that door or go that route. And that's who she is. That's who she is. And that's such a beautiful thing. For her to be that and for you to know that.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Repeat that again. It is beautiful that you say that again, Miles. That was powerful.
It's a beautiful thing that she is that and you know that.
And you know that. And so that question is not a given, right?
Right,
yes.
Question is not a given.
Webster didn't print that one.
Right. And I think I think, though, that it gets that way. When do you think, Miles, that it gets to the point where you know that you know?
Well, they know how to, and I'm not around them, but I can tell.
Let's talk in general, not just they
know how to handle each other's friction, animosity. They know the parameters of the of what they disagree with, and they stay in a parameter where that there is no damage.
So are you
no damage that's beyond repair?
So let's not look at the two of them. What would you advise to a young couple who is married, who just got married, or on their way to getting married? How do you get to that place?
Well, that's a road. They didn't get there overnight. I mean, she
right.
just said,
right.
She right. said 22 years they put this together.
22 years.
This didn't happen in 22 days.
Right.
So they were both, they both had a level of decency and morality in the beginning. Right. And that is a very important ingredient that you had. They both loved the Lord. I think they were both in church. I think.
Yes.
They were both believers. That they had a whole lot of pluses going for them.
Yeah, that's a lot of pluses.
Whereas you take two people in the club, one of them smoke weed, one of them drink liquor. One of them come from an abusive parent. The other one could have been bullied. They got all of these issues,
right?
You know, and they're coming together, and they're arguing all the time, and they don't even know why, you know. And I don't want to use I'm trying not to use religion, because right. everybody listening is not religious.
Right.
Right.
But I said, whether you are religious or not religious, you could be an atheist, but you know that there is something negative that's trying to conquer something positive.
Right.
I don't care if you don't believe in God at all. If you believe in, if you are
whatever, yeah, right.
It is a universal, lawful existence that negative and positive is battling each other.
Sure,
battling, you know.
And so when you see the negative, you're saying when you see the negative, you know there's a problem, and it's like you work on that issue, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. negative,
yes.
because that negative can become a positive.
Everybody can't see that. Like I was telling you, earlier, that I was talking to a guy about him and his wife arguing, and I says that every time she jams you up with something, and you say to her, "What about you?" I said, as long as you go to "What about you," you never going to solve the problem.
Right. Going to the defense.
You are always going to be arguing, and it's going to be terrible because somebody has to accept that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. So if neither one of you going to be wrong, then
you're going to have a mess.
It's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, and it took me a lot of years to learn that I have a niece that does a lot of negative things, and I would always vent to this minister that worked in the kitchen, and I was breaking it down. And I said, you know, so and so did this, and so and so got four men, and so and so got five kids by five different men, and I put her in a house, and she won't pay no rent, and I'm all messed up with the guy, the friend of mine, that let her in the house, and he don't speak to me no more, and she just ain't no good. And this and that. And the woman, listen, and then she said, okay, and she said, what about you?
That's right.
I said, I had to think about where I came from.
That's right.
And how no good I was.
That's right.
And all the no good things I've done.
Right.
And I just couldn't throw a rock at her.
Yeah, and you can't. And when two people are disagreeing, you will solve nothing if each person go on the defense. Mm-hmm. You did this, but you did that, but you did this, but you did that. Mm-hmm. You'll never fix it.
No, you're trying to tell the other person how they weren't good at what they did.
Right.
Something that they did that wasn't right. And then you're going to take that and you're going to compare it to yours and you're going to say to them, well, you just, where are you going with this?
That's right.
What can you conclude with taking the other person's wrong and justifying your own?
Right, right. Now let me can I
just interject something?
Go ahead.
Because I don't want to just paint just a picture of rosy that we don't have any challenges.
That's right. That's right. So, Roxanne, hold on 1 second. Let me tell you what my next question was. And I bet you're getting ready to talk about it. My next question to you is, how do you feel when you argue or disagree with each other? Now,
right there. So, my husband and I, we had a disagreement and we were talking back and forth to everybody. He said, he's in the middle of us talking. He said, lower your voice. And I said to him, my voice is not high. I said, this is the way my whole family talk. We talk in this soprano voice. When we're talking, it's loud. That's the way we talk. And I had to realize that I was talking loud.
Right.
I had elevated my voice. But he received it as I was disrespecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, every time we have a disagreement, because to me it felt like I wasn't raising my voice, say to me, you're raising my voice. You're raising your voice, because I do want to correct that. Because believe it or not, more than sex, more than this, a good looking body, a man want to be respected.
That's right.
And it was never my intention to disrespect him. So as soon as he said that I was disrespecting him by how loud I was talking,
right,
I did want to make corrections to that.
Sure.
So I had to say to him, every time you think that I'm loud, I need you to say to me, you're being loud. Or you're trying to overtalk me, or you know, your voice is higher than it need to be, and I feel disrespected because now you're bringing that problem right to the front.
Right.
And regardless of how I say it's coming across, this is what you are feeling.
That's right. You always say that, Moms. Yeah.
So if I'm not going to recognize your feelings or what you're feeling, even though in myself I'm feeling like I'm not yelling.
Yeah.
And what he's saying that I'm yelling.
Wow.
Moms, so if I don't correct that,
yeah,
he's going to feel disrespected.
Right. Right.
And so that's going to be a problem.
Right. Right.
Because he has feelings with being disrespected.
Right. Right.
Like you want to be the man? You want to wear the pants?
Right.
So, and I recognize that God put that in man.
Sure.
That's not just something that men just come up with about being disrespected. God put that in them.
Right.
So I had to recognize that. And even to today, after 22 years, if I have a conversation with him, that's something we disagree, I said, we need to talk. And this is what the issue is. And I asked him, what I say, how was my tone? And he said, oh, your tone was low. Because I'm now made aware of it.
Yeah.
I'm conscious of that. So that's I wanna do something about it.
That's right.
Mm.
So that was one of our challenges.
Yes. But in a marriage, if you are best friends and you love each other, you don't beat each other up.
You don't
beat the other one. She don't beat you. You don't do that to one another. And when you lie to me, it's thinking that you are, at this time right now, you're trying to beat me down. Yeah. No, not it. We're not going to do that. Right. We're going to, first, you're going to talk, and then I'm going to talk. Right. We're going to work this out. That's right. The only way that a marriage reaches its goal. You learn from each other each and every day.
Communication.
But arguing is not going to work. It's not going to work. A marriage, you're supposed to work at it.
That's right.
Not against it. Work at it, not against
that's
it.
That's powerful. That's
not
good.
Against it. That's not against good. It. Work at it.
Good.
And that's you be good. As a team together. My best friend, and I'm her best friend.
Wow.
That's what you do. And far as the church, we have to walk together. I have to be by her side, not this over here, not over there. I'm supposed to be right there with her. God put this together. God has control over everything. Without him, we don't have anything. Nothing.
Wow.
At all.
Wow. You have something to say about that, Miles? That was powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I told you listeners that you were going to be blessed by them, didn't I? Go ahead, Miles.
Yeah, it's and like she said, they had to work on that. That didn't come overnight, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it is so beautiful that you two guys, or anyone that recognizes that we can't get in the ring like and bite off your ear like Mike Tyson and Holyfield.
Right.
We can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work it out like with intelligence and peace, you know. And that takes turning your finger around. That was a hard job for me. I'm 70 years old and I'm still learning to turn the finger around.
Yeah.
You know, because as long as you can either go to the mirror or you can go to the finger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the truth, Mom. And not only have you learned, while I was learning also, we both were learning. You actually find yourself, we don't argue. People say, you all don't argue. No, we don't argue. And it's not like our relationship. We had an incident similar to yours. Miles said, Merlin, when you start getting too loud, I'm going to say rock. And if it's getting worse, I'm going to say stone. I'm going to, the next boulder. I'm really angry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what we started doing. And we didn't have to do that much. And then, you know, Miles said on one podcast, he began to look at our marriage and say, what do I need to do to please Marilyn? And Marilyn is my, what did you say I was?
Assignment.
He said, Marilyn is my assignment. And whatever I need to do to make her happy, I want to make her happy. And because he does that, then I in turn do that to him. Now I'm going to ask you two more questions, and they're quick questions because our time is almost over.
Wow, that time will buy.
Doesn't it go by quickly? Yeah. Okay. What is the best compliment that Mike has ever given you, Roxanne?
He always tell me he loved me. Like when I wake up in the morning, he's like, I love you. When I'm leaving out the door, he is like, I love you. He always say, I love you, baby girl.
Right.
So I think that just him reinforcing every day, he tells me that he loves me.
Okay. Mike, what is the best compliment that Roxanne has ever given you?
The same. She calls me little man.
Okay.
Calls me little man, the same. She always tell me when I dress, she tell me look nice. She always compliment me when I do things at the house and everything. If she's away or something, she comes back, things are done here. She don't have to worry about it. And another compliment she always give me, she said, I thank God for you. I thank Wow. God for you. She always give me great compliments, and we always do that with each other to keep each other encouraged of how much we love one another.
Right.
If you lose the love, the marriage will never work. It would never work. And another thing, when she dresses, I always tell her, you look nice.
Wow.
Always.
Wow.
Always say, my queen looks nice.
All right now. All right.
And
now.
We always give each other compliments. Always.
Beautiful. Second
it's not
question.
A day that we don't give each other compliments. Not a
That's
day.
What I'm talking about. That is
not
what
a
I'm
day.
Talking about. That is why I wanted you all on. The last question is, on a scale from 1 to 10, how happy are you in your marriage overall? And why did you choose the number that you were going to choose?
I would say a 9. And the reason why I say a 9, because we're always growing. And so I always look for the next. What is God doing next? What is he going to do through us next? What are you going to do for us? Because we're constantly growing. So a 10 is perfect. And I like to see the growth. So I like to see us always growing.
Wow, Mike.
I would say a 9 as well. Because we both is a team.
Right.
We know where this is at, where that's at, because we always talk about different things. We always communicate with each other and we talk. I say a 9.
Wow. Miles, do you have any additional questions for our guests today? They have been brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have been such a blessing to the people. And I'm so glad that you made it because, you know, I'm so glad that you made it in time because your voice is so needed.
Mm-hmm.
When you share your heart is powerful. And so
there's a scripture that when I read it, it changed my life. And it says, if any man think himself to be wise, let him become a fool that he may be wise. If you could understand that you're wrong, it is a blessing from God to, because you can't, as an old man told me once, he says, you can't learn nothing when you're right. So the only time you learn something is when you're wrong.
That's true.
So to be able to see you're wrong and then be willing to adjust, to improve it or fix it is one of the greatest things that can happen to a human being.
And can I just say, I am so proud of y'all as a couple. I mean, I witnessed some of y'all challenges, and for sure, to death do y'all part, y'all have came through a lot of challenges.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you.
We were there.
And we're so godly proud of y'all.
Yes, we are.
You're impacting so many people's lives because people give up too soon.
That's right.
And they're not willing to stay in there and fight for the marriage.
That's right.
So I am so glad that y'all fought for the marriage.
Yes.
I am so glad that you two were there for us. And you all being there for us,
mm-hmm.
our strength, we got our strength from you guys. And I wrote in one of my books, The Power in about the power of the tongue, and you continued to speak life. And you would suggest to me to continue to speak life. Come on, girl, speak life, speak life. And I spoke life, and God moved. And as Miles said, we both humbled ourselves. We were both business people. And he knew business on one end, I did business another way. And we would clash, but God. And now we are, what would you say, Miles?
We are walking within the will of God.
We are walking within the will of God.
And what's unique, what's so awesome. What is so awesome about Mike is that Mike, she didn't even know, but Mike knew that she was the will of God, and she was destiny, and nobody could stop it. Nothing could stop it.
Nobody.
It had to be. And for Mike to know that, it flesh and blood did not reveal that to him.
That's right.
Powerful, Mike. You look at a woman and you know that's yours. And you know God gave it to you.
And he went after it.
And she didn't even know it herself.
That's right.
Wasn't nothing you could do about it, Roxanne.
That's true. I'm glad it was nothing I could do about it.
Let me tell you something. She used to get, I don't know. Girl, be quiet. And he came, and Mike can cook. We all know Mike can cook. And when Mike put a tray together, oh my God. And it, what smarter way to really win her over than let her come and watch you in the kitchen? Oh, shucky ducky now.
Praise God.
Anyway, we thank you all so much.
Enjoyed y'all this evening.
We enjoyed you.
Thank you.
We thank you all for being on today. You all are such a blessing to us, and we love you with the love of the Lord. And I just pray we can do this again.
Yes, absolutely.
We love y'all back. We love you back.
All right. Can you all give my audience your email address, just in case somebody has a question?
Sure. So it's Pastor Roxanne Hawkins with an S, 35@gmail.com.
Now, Pastor Roxanne, one more time.
Pastor Roxanne Hawkins, 35@gmail.com.
Well, Pastor Roxanne and Pastor Mike, thank you so much. Thank you all so much. Miles and I love you.
Love you. Love y'all.
We love y'all.
Love you.
And you all have been such a blessing.
Put us in the GPS soon.
And Miles said, put us in the GPS soon.
You know, we feel like we're at a 5-star hotel when we come to your house because of the royal treatment that you give us.
Yes.
You know, so.
You all are king and queens. We love you with the love of the Lord.
We love you too.
Yes.
All right now. You all be blessed. We love you.